Welcome to the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast, where caregivers can come to be empowered, inspired, and strengthened to keep caring. I am your host, Priscilla Jean-Louis. Hey, caregiver family, I am so grateful that you've chosen to listen to this episode of the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. If you've listened to the podcast before, I'd like to welcome you back for another care inspiring, empowering, and strengthening episode. If this is your first time listening, then I welcome you and I thank you for clicking on that play button. Listen, if you haven't done so already, take a moment now to subscribe to the podcast from whichever platform you are listening on. Then go ahead and share it with your family and friends, especially those you may know who are serving as caregivers. And as always, I'd like to take a moment to thank those who are always following me, following my caregiver journey with my mom, who I affectionately call my favorite girl, on my social media platforms. You too can also follow me on social media. You'll find me on Facebook and Instagram at My Favorite Girl and Alzheimer's, on YouTube at My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast, and on TikTok and at My Favorite Girl and Alls. The mission of this podcast is to bring inspiration, education, resources, and strength to caregivers so you can keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and keep caring. Y'all, I know it's been a while since I've dropped a podcast episode, and as the saying goes, life just be lifing. And so after experiencing a devastating loss and being a solo caregiver now, those of you that have listened to the podcast before, you all know that my youngest one who was here with me, she still comes over, but she is actually graduated now and she's on campus. So I'm really a solo caregiver now. And so empty nester, all of that, all at one time, and also working a full-time job. So yeah, it's been a whole lot. So with all of that going on, you know, life kind of forced me to take a moment to step back, gather myself, and regroup. And sometimes you just have to do that to make it even better. So I'm excited to be back with you all, and I'm actually looking forward to the podcast going to the next level. I have some wonderful, wonderful guests that are lined up for you for the next couple months, and they're going to be tuning in. They're going to be joining us, and I know that you're going to be greatly empowered and inspired as you serve in caring. And so got that coming up real soon in the next couple weeks. So y'all stay tuned in. Make sure you come back and listen to the podcast. We are back on, and as they say, pop it. So enough of that. We're going to go ahead and get into today's conversation. My guest that I have with me on the episode today, I met her this year, back in February, at the 2024 Alzheimer's Association rally in Tally, held right here in Tallahassee. And if I'm not mistaken, and she'll correct me when she comes on, but we were actually having lunch. My daughter and I, we were having lunch, and she passed through, and we just kind of started talking, and I invited her to sit down and have lunch with us. And while we were talking, I was just asking, you know, what brought her here, brought her to rally. And she began to tell me about just not just why she was there, but the lengths that it took to get her there. And I was so moved by her story. With Rally, there is a bus. And so every year, for those that don't know, every year, the Alzheimer's Association, we have the Rally in Tally, where all of the advocates in Florida who desire to, they come up here to Tallahassee, to the Capitol. And we actually have an evening, that first evening, it's right there in front of the Capitol. We turn the Capitol purple. We have some of the legislators coming out, those that work with the association here. And it's just a great event where the advocates all over the state of Florida are able to come together and fellowship together, meet one another, and know who the faces are. Some of them we've seen on the different Zooms and what have you, but be able to just simply connect with other people who are in the same space that you're in. And so, the second day we go up and we actually meet with the legislators and we talk about the different bills that we have going up during session. And so it's always a great time. And so she was here for that. And with that, with rally, there's a bus. The Alzheimer's Association usually has a bus, and I think the buses usually there's 2 points where the bus will meet people who want to ride the bus up, and it's down in South Florida. And then I believe the other drop was in Orlando, Gainesville area. But at any rate, she lived in an area where the bus wasn't coming through. And because she was so determined to be here, she actually got on the Red Coach bus. And those that live in Tallahassee, y'all know the Red Coach. Red, you catch Red Coach, and it's a very inexpensive state drive, and it's just, it's a busing system. But she was determined to get here, took the Red Coach, got here in Tallahassee, not knowing anybody here in Tallahassee, called an Uber, and Uber picks her up, and then Uber drops her off a little bit beyond where she was supposed to be. She ends up walking to her hotel. And I hope I told that story absolutely correct. But all of that, I was so moved by it, and probably more so because we sometimes will go to those type lengths when it's our family, when it's people, that are blood sometimes, but rarely do people do that type thing for a friend. And so I was just absolutely blown away by it. I love it. Absolutely love it. And so this is who my guest is. So I'm going to give just a brief introduction of her. Her name is Adria Lopiccolo. I hope I said that. I practiced that and I probably still jacked it up. But anyway, Andrea, she is a naturalized U.S. citizen from Porras, Manchester, Jamaica, and a past student of Homewood Technical High School. She is married to James Lopiccolo and has a daughter, Jodi Ann, son Jordan, son-in-law Garfield, and grandson Nate. She served and volunteered for many years as the president of the Parent Teachers Association at Porras Infant School and Porras Primary School in Jamaica. Currently, she works as a case manager in the child support program for the Manatee Clerk of the Circuit Court in Bradenton, Florida. She's been employed with them for the past 14 years, 14 plus years. Andrea is a believer who cherishes her family and likes taking photographs. See, we have something else in common. I'm a photographer as well. She likes singing, dancing, writing, cooking, walking, crafts, Sudoku, and other outdoor activities. She hopes to make a difference by helping her children and grandchild achieve what she didn't achieve and volunteering. Andrea, welcome to the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast.
Thank you.
So glad to have you on here today. I hope I told that story correctly.
Yes, you almost told it correctly.
All
The
right, fill in the part that I messed up.
it's the red coach dropped me somewhere that was very dark. So I had to actually walk from there to get into the lighted area to get my Uber.
Okay. All
And
right.
being somewhere for the first time, somewhere you don't know, it was interesting.
Okay. So I got the story almost right, y'all. Either
Yes,
way it
you did
goes,
a good job.
thank you. Either way it goes, what I saw with that is by any means necessary, she was going to make it happen. And so if you looked at the title of the podcast before you click that play button, the title of this podcast for today is The Compassion of a Friend, Andrea's Story. And I titled the conversation as such before I actually reached back out to her about coming on the podcast. In my devotion and studying on last week, I was reading over in Mark, the first chapter, verses 40 through 41, out of the New Living Translation. And there were three words that actually stuck out to me in that devotion. And Those three words were moved with compassion. It talks about Jesus being moved with compassion. And, you know, in the day and the time that we live in now, man, I wish we had a lot more compassionate people. But even as I started to just meditate on that and look at the word compassion, it talks about being love in action. It means pity and mercy accompanied by a desire to help change things. And one of the commentaries I was reading, it says true compassion means doing something. It means us moving us to do something. True compassion moves us to do something. And so that's what I saw, Adria, when I thought about that and I thought about, okay, what would we discuss? And what I knew what we would discuss because I knew what your purpose was. But in coming up with the title, I immediately thought about the fact that your compassion for your friend moved you to do something. And you went through great lengths to do that. So if you don't mind, just share with us just, you know, your friend and how this connection came about with you and your friend and what's going on with her.
Okay, so my friend, her name is Mary Beth Bustle. She lives in Palmetto. And I met her some years ago when we first migrated to the United States. We lived a few doors apart and she had a granddaughter. And then my son was about 7 years old. And so they met and I met her. And at the time she was retired and she just embraced us. She accepted us for who we were. And she took my son just about everywhere, to the beach. She took him to the plaza. She had, when it was Halloween, they would go trick-or-treating together. And one of the things that I was very thankful for is that he was in public school and he was doing very well. But then she said to me, you know, as an immigrant, there are some things that you have to learn and you have to get a better feel of what happens in America. And so she said to me, you know, he's doing well in the public school, but you have an option. There's a charter, what is referred to as a charter school, where the class sizes are smaller and he would probably do even better there. And so we went on a tour of the charter school and he was accepted and he started doing much better than he was doing in the public school. We stayed there for a while and then we moved away from Palmetto into Bradenton, which is across the bridge. But I would go back from time to time to visit with her whenever I got a chance. And then out of nowhere, I went one day to see her and she wasn't able to speak to me.
Wow.
And I was in shock, to say the least, because when her husband, who has become her caregiver, told me what was happening, it was hard to accept.
I can imagine.
The fact that someone who was so vibrant, outgoing, we could sit and have conversation whenever I drop in to see her, we'd sit and have conversation sometimes over a glass of lemonade. And she was always busy. She was always doing something. And like I said before, she was retired at the time. She was a dental hygienist. When we came here, she was retired, but based on her involvement with community, she was leading the Manatee Players. She was with United Way. She was with Manatee Glens, and she was with the County Girls Club. And she was actually the first director of the Kiwanis Club of Bradenton Foundation. And for you to meet somebody and know who she was and to experience all that she has done and all that she is, and suddenly she could not speak to me anymore. I felt devastated. Yeah. And so I went online and I found out about the Alzheimer's Association, and I started doing the fundraiser for the walk in Sarasota and Alzheimer's walk in Sarasota. And that is where I became involved with the association.
Okay. So how long ago was that?
Well, the first walk that I did was in 2022. I did the first fundraiser and walk in 2022. I'm not quite sure. I think it might have been during that year that I found out, or a little before that. And then I did the walk in 2023 as
okay.
well.
So was this during COVID that you just
It wasn't during COVID.
Okay.
It was not during COVID. It was, I think it might have been after COVID.
Okay.
Or before.
So, and I'm asking that because you said that you went to see her and all of a sudden she couldn't speak. So
what happened is that, you know, Priscilla, what happened is sometimes you're busy. So you pop in whenever you can.
Right.
But
right.
but for me, it wasn't really a long gap. So it's not that I saw her every day.
Right, right.
But I'll go in like probably in a month would pass and I don't see her, and I will pop in whenever I can when I get a chance to visit with her. But the fact is, I didn't realize that is how quickly things could happen.
Gotcha.
When it comes to Alzheimer's dementia.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I mean, with my mom, she can still talk, but, you know, you understand some of the things she's saying, but like with some conversations, I have no idea. Like she just has her own conversation. And I just, you know, I go into that world with her and I still have the conversation, but I don't know, but you know, she can still talk. So I can only imagine what that's like if, you know, I were to walk in her room or she comes out or what have you, and there's absolutely no conversation. Wow. You know, wow. I can understand how devastating that could be for you or is for you. Is she older? I know you said she was retired. So is she older?
She's a little older.
Okay.
But she was full of life.
Yeah.
Full of energy.
Yeah. You know? I was just wondering because I know that there are still some, you know, right now and even before there have been some early onset. So I was just wondering what that age was. But yeah, absolutely, to be full of life and then all of a sudden, and that's how unfortunately this disease happens a lot of times. It's just, and you look at somebody who, you know, I have in my mom's room, my mom was a professional tailor. And she had an alterations business. And so she has always, I mean, people have always been around, flocked to her. She knows a lot of people. A lot of people know her. She's fixed clothes for some of everybody. And so there's a picture in her room that one of the guys that used to work, she had a alterations business inside of Burlington Coat Factory here. And one of the guys there started doing photography. And so he put together this collage of just different pictures of her fixing clothes at her sewing machine, just about maybe 10 pictures. And it showed, I had that picture hanging up in her room. And just the other week, I just kind of stood there and looked at the picture and, you know, saying to myself, like, man, if I could get back one of those days, just one 24 hours of those days, you know, it would make such a difference. So I definitely feel you, you know, when you say that and being somebody who, as you stated, embraced you when you got here. That's a friend, right? That's a close yes. friend that you made yes. when you were here. Makes me think of like my mom and my grandmother who, you know, my mom took up with my grandmother when she first moved down to Central Florida. And, you know, that's how our relationship started. And my grandmother wasn't blood to me, but she was my grandmother, as I say, she was my grandmother by love. And so those connections, you know, that is, and it's painful, right? It is very painful to watch somebody that you love, even going through the stages of Alzheimer's. It can be extremely painful. And so even with that, for you, even at this point, I know, you know, you're not her caregiver, but I'm sure that you're in contact with her husband and those that are caring for her. But even as far as that friendship is with her and her living with dementia, what are some changes or I don't want to say changes, but of course the friendship changed. But even in that, what are some of the things that, yes, they've changed, but then there's some things that are the same as far as connection?
You mean connecting with her?
Yes.
Yeah, I still connect with her. I was there last Saturday. I went to see her. I spent probably about 45 minutes or more, you know, just sitting and talking with her, even though she's not responding, but she's sitting and she's well taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's always good to see and know.
Yes, she's well taken care of. Her husband takes very good care of her. And she's sitting there just relaxed, watching her television. And I'm sitting there, you know, I talk with her. And sometimes I'll show her a picture of my son when he was younger. And she give me a nod. And she'll look at me like with a question in a question mark as to, am I remembering right? Or, you know, but she's not saying anything. So you just sit there and just enjoy the time that I have with her, even though she's not able to talk. And she will look at me. She'll stop for a minute, take her eyes from the television, and she'll look at me. And I look at her and I hold her hand and she squeezed my hand. And just for those moments, I'm grateful.
Yeah. Because that was going to be my next question. Like, how much does that mean to you? And I say that because, you know, I've encountered family members, different ones who really feel like, you know, well, she's not going to remember me anyway. So why am I going to come over? That importance of just being able to recognize that they are still people. They are still humans with feelings, with emotions. And whether they recognize you, remember you or not, you know, you still remember them. So how important is that to you that even though she can't speak with you, that you're still present as much as you can be?
It's important to me because, like I've said before, and you've mentioned it, it's the embrace that she gave us when she met us, people she didn't know. And it is important to me to keep that connection as long as possible because she may not remember who she was or who she is or who I am, but I remember her and I remember all the things that she did. I know who she is. And so I embrace her as she is right now.
I love it. I absolutely love that. That is something that means everything to me. You know, I said the same thing, you know, with my mom and other people that I encounter. I say strengthen what remains, right?
Yes.
You're going to lose a lot on this journey. To those that are listening, you know, I hate to kind of say it in that manner, but that's the truth of it, right? You're going to lose a lot on this journey. There are things that you will wish sometimes that you can have back. But then there are things that you do still have. There are things, my mom, especially over the last few weeks, again, everything, thank you so much. You know, no matter what you're doing, it's feeding her. It's getting her ready for bed. Now she has those very aggressive moments that are what they are, but you know, and you understand that it's the disease, but she is very much, I mean, putting her in bed, she's very much, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, and so if I sit down, that's all she wants. If you sit down with her, talk with her, she wants me to sit in the chair right next to her. That makes her world all right. And so it's those moments and the smiles and, you know, because I sit there and I talk to her literally, just like I know exactly what she's saying every single time. And she'll laugh and I'll laugh. And, you know, for me, that is being able to strengthen that part that remains, being able to find that happy spot in the middle of sometimes, you know, sad spots, sad moments, right? And so, you know, I love, again, the way that you just, you know, determined to like, no, I'm going to learn everything I can because this is my friend. This is somebody who I love. This is somebody that I care about. And so I am going to learn everything I can about this. And so
yes, and what it is also is that to get that feeling and to have that feeling where somebody is taken away from you with that disease so quickly. I want to understand more about it. What can I do to help? What can I do to inform others, to help to educate others, so that if it might happen to a loved one or just a stranger, they're better equipped to deal with it because it is a hard blow.
Yeah.
And you have to accept it, but in the same breath, it is very hard to deal with. And so I want to learn as much as possible. And if I can reach somebody else, even one or two persons along the way, you know, it will make a difference.
Yeah. And that becomes one of the most important and key things. Being able to understand, because, you know, like you said, it's a hard blow. It's a really hard blow. But when you start to understand, and I think that passion of just being able to, as you stated, help other people to understand, that's what this podcast is all about. This is one of the main purposes of this podcast, is to help educate other people on what it's like. Because as you just said, I mean, we know when you go through something and it hurts, and that's the bottom line of it, hurts, right? Mm-hmm. You take that hurt because why? You don't want anybody else to hurt in that same manner, right?
Right.
You just like, if I can help you to avoid what I feel, you know, if I can help you to not be surprised by some of the things. And for me, I'm on my 8th year. This is 8 years. And there are still some things that I am surprised by. There are some things sometimes that happen that my mom does or doesn't do, rather, that can be a blow to you. Right. So I know one of the things in your bio that I read, it says that you are a believer, right?
Yeah.
How important, you know, if you weren't a believer, would you even be able to do what you do, right? I think it's the faith that we have that helps to sustain us in these moments too, right? So how important for you is your faith even in this situation?
Well, you said, I'm a believer, and to be honest with you, I wonder what it would have been like if I wasn't a believer, because it is that faith and that relationship. I'm not perfect, but it's that relationship that I have with Jesus Christ that allow me to face not just that, but several other things. But in this case, to face it and say, wow, anything can happen at any time, but I cannot change what has happened. But with my faith and my trust in the Lord, then I can stand and accept her as she is now, knowing who she was before. And I can stand and try to learn as much as possible, so that if you never know what happens down the road, if a relative of another friend or even strangers along the way, you're able to relate to them, you're able to pass on the knowledge that you have and to assist with the whole situation.
Absolutely. And I, you know, for me, when people ask me, how do you do it? I do it because of my faith and my trust and my dependence on God. Without that, I couldn't. I know, the level of patience that is involved in being day in and day out. And I mean, because sometimes I take some pretty hard blows. I mean, my mom can be very aggressive sometimes. And so, you know, I've been bit, kicked, scratched, the whole nine, you know, and you still have to wake up and keep doing it. And, you know, I pray, and my constant all the time is asking God to help me to serve her, you know, the way that he serves, asking him to serve her through me. You know, he served her through me, and her being able to feel his love, you know, despite anything else. And that's important to me. I often say, and I said it earlier, it's serving to me. It's being able to serve her the way that Christ serves us, the way that, you know, his love, being able, that's important to me, that even in the state of mind that she's in, because what I've learned on this journey, on this process, is she may not recognize a lot of things, most things. She doesn't even recognize me as her daughter. She thinks I'm her mother. But one thing that she does recognize is the love that I have for her. She recognizes love. And, you know, I'm here. When I'm not traveling, I'm home. And I mean, as soon as my door cracks open, it's like her world is, everything's great in her world. And 5 o'clock comes, and it's like she knows exactly when 5 o'clock is coming. And she literally gets up. I don't care what's going on and who is here. And they can tell her as many times as they want. She did it today. You can tell her as many times as she wants, come back and sit down. It's like, I don't hear anything you're saying. I see my person, and that's where I'm going. And, right. You know, to be honest, it's those moments as well. They make you feel good, right? Because it's like, you know, out of everything else, when you recognize that, you know what, she might not know this, but she recognizes love. And that's the important part of it. And so, You know, even the love that you have for your friend, the compassion that you have for your friend that has moved you to do something, right? That compassion that you have, you know, to learn, to educate yourself. And that is the important part that people have to understand, not just with Alzheimer's. And I know I talk about it a lot because that just happens to be, you know, what my mom is living with, but for any type of challenge and disease that your loved one may be inflicted with, it behooves all of us, everyone, to learn as much as you can about whatever it is, so that one, you're educated and you're knowledgeable about that particular ailment, disease, infliction, whatever it is, you're knowledgeable. And you know, because sometimes certain medications, just being debilitated by a disease can cause different changes in moods and attitudes and what have you. So as opposed to getting upset and catching an attitude, but understand what it's all about, so that the more you're educated, if it happens, you don't take it personal. It's not a personal thing. It's being able to say, okay, understand this is a part of this, what have you. And so, you know, I mean, your friend is absolutely, that's the one thing I believe, she's absolutely blessed to have you as a friend as well.
Yeah, I drop in to see her whenever I can and whenever I get there. You know, her husband is so caring. He's so calm about it. I mean, I've met through the association, I've met caregivers like yourself and some others when I was at the rally in Tallahassee. And when I compare everything and everybody, I realized that it seemed like an impossible task, but the attitude and I guess the faith and the trust in the Lord. But I guess when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ as caregivers, because I'm not a caregiver, but when you guys have a relationship with the Lord, he leads you on that path and you have some form of comfort. Because when I walk into that home to see my friend, her husband is, it's as if it is the same as it was when she was normal. That's the way he takes care. I watch him folding her clothes. He's an amazing caregiver.
And that's
it's just like she's able to talk and when we'd walk into that house when she was normal. So she's blessed.
And that is the truth. I've seen it on the other end where spouses, you know, they walk away because they would just rather not deal with it, you know. And so that by itself is like that is a blessing, you know. I'm not sure how long they've been married, but
it is amazing because I'll share this. It's not something that is. I'll share this. When I went there on Saturday, last Saturday, I rang the doorbell like 2-3 times. I said, okay, I'm gonna ring it a fourth time. Nobody answered. Okay, so I figured nobody was at home. So I got in the car and I reluctantly left. I said, Lord, I'm not sure when I'll have the time again to come and see her. But I left. So on my way, I was at a red light and I sent a text to say, I came by the house, but I rang the doorbell. Nobody answered. I guess nobody's home. And he sent me back a text and he said, I was taking her to the bathroom.
Oh.
And that is how important it was to him. He would never disrupt whatever he's doing to look after her to come and answer that door. And I said, I sent a text back. I said, I am coming back. And so when I went back, he was actually finished and he was able to let me in so that I could visit with her.
Love to hear it. Love, absolutely love to hear it. Now, is he, does he have assistance? Is there someone else that, you know, kind of gives him a reprieve periodically?
Yes, I guess so. And I remind him, I said, she has her family there. I know that she has a son there and grandchildren who are there. And I remind him, I said, through all of this, you need to remember to take care of yourself. And he said he's trying. But she's very calm, very, very relaxed.
Okay.
Very calm. So.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm a part of a Facebook group, and I'm telling you, some of the stories that go on in there with spouses, and you know, I mean, I've just seen it just in research, just in reading, just in, you know, sometimes it's not the case. So that is definitely a blessing to have somebody.
I'm telling you, when I because these are people that you met when things were normal, okay?
Yeah.
And when I walk into the house, I don't know the difference. I cannot tell that there's a difference. It's just that I know she is not well, but you don't feel it. And it is a prime example of the vow that we take.
Yes.
For better or for worse.
Yes.
And he's living that vow.
Love in action. Love in action.
Yes.
Love in action. And I'm sure that does well for his children as well. You know, to be able to see the children and the grandchildren and still be able to see that type of love that's
he's leading by example.
Right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So I want to ask you this question as well. What advice would you give to someone who may be a close friend to someone who's living with Alzheimer's or any other form of dementia who may, you know, experience the same thing? What advice would you give them if they're wondering, you know, how can I help my friend? How can I, you know, still be there? Or, you know, maybe they're having a harder time than you are with the situation. What advice would you give to them as, you know, a friend who is sticking closer than a brother?
The advice that I would give is try to find a support group, ask questions, try to learn about the disease and what you can do with regards to those who are already diagnosed and those who probably will be diagnosed later on in terms of early detection. Also, look beyond what the person is now and remember what the person or who the person was. And those memories will help you to cope with what is happening around you. And in the same breath is that try to take care of yourself. Try to lead a healthy life, exercise. Sometimes it's hard to eat right, but just try and make things work.
Great advice.
Yeah, and you have to trust in the Lord.
Great advice. Now you're down in the Bradenton area. Is there a support group in that area that you would suggest to someone who may be in that area who's looking for a support group?
The Bradenton, the Gulf Coast Association, which includes Manatee County, Sarasota.
Okay.
Yes, you can, if you have somebody who wants to get information, you can reach out to that group.
Okay, great. And I do have it scrolling, but everybody's not going to be on YouTube. If you would like to let them know how they can get in contact with you, if it's somebody out there that may say, you know what, they may need to just talk to somebody. Are you open for that? And if so, how can they contact you?
Yes, they can contact me by email if they wish. It's johnguback@gmail.com. It may seem male-oriented, but it's actually the nickname for my brother in his memory when we were children. That's his was his nickname. So thus the male.
Absolutely.
To the email.
Okay. Sounds good. And so y'all got that. I'm going to say it again for you. You can contact Andrea at johnguback@gmail.com. If you are a friend of someone who is dealing with Alzheimer's, dementia, or anything else, who just kind of needs that support and say, you know what, because sometimes it's very easy to feel like you are all by yourself, that nobody else is dealing with something on this same level as you. And here is an example of one who's been on today talking about just the love that she has for her friend and the importance of keeping that person's memory. You remember them for who they were. And you can't forget the love that people have had for you. Andrea, thank you so
much. Yes, and they can also, Priscilla, reach out to the Alzheimer's Association Florida helpline.
Yep. Give me that number.
The number is 800-272-3900. And they can help to address caregiving challenges and answer questions about the Alzheimer's and any other form of dementia.
Absolutely. And you can also visit the Alzheimer's website at www.alz.org, www.alz.org. I'm going to contact the Alzheimer's Association and tell them that they owe me a sponsorship, because I am forever talking about the Alzheimer's Association on this podcast. No, seriously though, they have provided some amazing information and resources for me. That's why I work as close as I do with them, because I found them to be one of the best organizations there is to be able to learn more about Alzheimer's and other dementias. And so thank you again for taking the time to share with me. Definitely keeping you as well as your friend and her husband in our prayers. And then, you know, even as you're going along, thank you for your heart and your passion to be able to do something, not just for your friend, but for anybody that you may come in contact with who, you know, may just need that information. I certainly appreciate you. And of course, we'll be in contact. I found a friend, y'all, when I met her at the association. We exchanged numbers. And we've kind of talked periodically since then. So that lets you know the caliber of person she is. She will call and just say, hey, checking in, or send me scriptures and all of that. You need all of that type of support when you are caring. It means a lot.
Thank you again for listening to this episode of the My Favorite Girl Caregivers Corner podcast. I'd also like to invite you to visit my website at www.priscillajeanlouis.com. There you'll find more information about me and my journey with My Favorite Girl. There's also the resource spot where you'll find many resources to help you as you are on your journey. Hey, stay connected. And remember, no matter what, keep going, keep pushing, keep loving, and by all means, keep caring.